Satanic International Network. You're listening to the news.
I'm contemplating every foul wicked spirit in the host, the news.
20 minutes, Daniel Rolove, on the news, right now.
On the news, it's gonna fucking rock. Be there.
To really happen to have a serial crime
necessitates a certain fortitude.
Now onto our show.
Thanks for calling in. I'm TC Downey, and with me on the air is Lehi. Lehi, how you doing, man?
Pretty good. I can still hear the intro music.
Oh, that's because you've got the show playing in the background, too.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Is that because you're on your phone?
What's that? I'm doing it through my phone still. With everything that's been going on, I haven't had a chance to iron out the headset issues, so... Yet another week of me trying to get this headset issue ironed out, and it seems like every time I try to move it up to top priority, other things kind of rise to the surface above it, so.
Gotcha. I think the problem is my news was playing. It's supposed to, when you call in through Skype, it's supposed to cut it off on the main page, but it didn't, so I paused it.
No, right on. What was I going to say? There's a lot of actual things going on that I wanted to discuss before we actually get into the meat and potatoes of today's show. I hate to kind of do it within the first few minutes, though, because what ends up happening is most of our live audience comes and slides in, you know, about 5 minutes in, 10 minutes in. You know, they don't get here right at the start because they don't want to, you know, deal with all the meet and greet, what's going on with you, man, what's going on with you, man, type deal. But I do think it's important that we, you know, make the relative point that the ooze is, it's growing, it's developing, it's taking on its own characteristics, and it's actually becoming its own channel this week. Not only will we have our usual Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday shows, but... there will be a new show airing on Wednesday night, I believe, that I'm trying to think. I think it's going to be...
Is that with Female Satan?
Yeah, it'll be me and Female Satan. I forget what time we discussed. I'll have to go back and listen to that edition again. But we had made an agreement on it. We're going to be focusing more on Fourth Way to start off with, and then kind of going, you know, in one direction or the other that way.
That sounds like it'll be a good show.
What's that?
I said that sounds like it'll be a good show.
Oh, I think so too. Hang on 1 second. Son, I'm on the phone. Sorry, little man's here this weekend, so... have to, you know, pause to acknowledge him and all that good stuff. Anyway, so this show here, this is the original time slot. We're going to stick with kind of the original ideas that were proposed in the beginning and, you know, what we've kind of built the rest of this channel up off of. So I decided in honor of that I would give this edition its own title, its own name. So from here on out, unless I've got the Latin wrong, it will be known as Primus Mono, or the first flow.
I'm sure if the Latin's wrong, I'm sure JK will say something.
I'm sure he will. But if the Latin's wrong, we'll put the correct Latin in there for it and get it going on that way. So hopefully JK will, you know, he'll correct us or whatever, and we'll take care of that.
Right on. Yeah, I like that. The first flow. Actually, in my perverted mind, when I saw the first flow, it kind of made me think of the feminine.
Yeah. Well, you know, the whole idea of the ooze in the beginning, and the reason that I picked that name was because ooze is something that's undesirable and tends to kind of seep into the cracks of things and get into things that you may or may not know exists. You know, it's kind of a gross, infectious, I want to say deterioristic, but I don't think that's the correct word. Degenerative, that's the word I'm looking for. The degenerative element, it's something that's considered undesirable by the mass. And so I thought it was kind of this perfect spinoff of, you know, the idea of the news or, you know, some kind of news broadcast. So
yeah, kind of getting infecting the mainstream.
Mm-hmm. Right, and that's actually a playoff. I don't know if you know the history of everything, but originally I did a broadcast called Twisted Radio, and that kind of fell apart after a good 9-month stretch. After that, I began developing a show that was called The Outbreak, or Outbreak Radio, and Outbreak Radio didn't really take off. Because I never actually had my first air. I had just been developing the concept for it. And along came the idea for the ooze, and we began, you know, building it up and doing whatever with it. And then later on, Jason Sorrell and I decided to start the Outbreak Radio and get that going again. And then the two merged and so forth and so on, but the idea has always kind of been an infection of mainstream ideas with a deteriorative, infectious, corrosive element. And so that is how the... Let's see, what's that guy? I'm sorry, I just got a comment in the chat room.
From Vivictus?
Yeah. He's stating that Manos only works for flow as verb form. If I made an error, we can blame it on Google Translator because technically I put the first ooze in there and clicked, and it gave me premium mono and. When I took that, pasted it back, and switched it around and translated into English, it actually came up as flow the first. And so then I just adjusted it to primus or premius because that's more of a adjective or verbal format. So
I wouldn't know. I know no Latin at all myself.
We'll see. I mean, I'm kind of loosely familiar with it, but I'm certainly not an expert, so that's why the title is kind of pending at this point. You know, we'll get the expert in there and get him to examine it. I tried to call him this morning, actually, to ask him if the verbiage was correct, but he must be spending some time with his family, which is cool. So.
And eating some chicken wings.
And eating some chicken wings, that's right, man. So then going beyond that and actually kind of getting into what I wanted to talk about, since we've hit the 10-minute mark, and, you know, anybody who shows up after this is just late to class, I'm sorry. But what has gone on is we've begun to develop these, you know, these different little additions of the ooze and everything, and now that we've got a pretty stable setting, like, I don't know if you caught Friday night's show, last night's show, but it was excellent. Well, the following edition has gone away. It's now the ooze occupied. Wicked Pup has taken a permanent role on the show, and his influence is, well, you know, very, very politically active and whatnot. So Anyway, in hopes of keeping it and to get things kind of a little more organized and structured so that we all know what's going on, what I've decided I'm going to start encouraging every edition to do is just kind of do a blanket spot, kind of like we do on Saturday nights, where you just do a pre-scheduled show that hits every single, it's scheduled for every single day that's supposed to appear at its right time, and it'll have like a generic blanket description of what that particular episode is about. And from there, we'll just keep a running list of topics. Well, what this has led into is the I'm echoing. Leah, are you there?
I'm there. I'm just waiting for you to finish so I don't interrupt you.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I just started echoing. I didn't know if it was from your Skype connection or what the deal was.
Oh, no, I've got headphones on, so it probably won't echo.
All right, then it's just my phone being retarded. I swear to God, if it wasn't for technical issues, I would have nothing to deal with on this show. anyway, leading into this, we are going to be starting a separate newsletter-style WordPress blog page that hopefully will give a description of each of the OOS shows, each of the current co-hosts, some information on the past co-hosts, and kind of just be a place where we can, you know, put little blurbs about whatever's going on and organize our topics so that the time slot itself does not actually have to have a, like a topical chronology, but rather the topics that are coming up on each show will be kind of putting categories on this WordPress blog page. So if you're interested
in
what's going on. Yeah, I think it's a great idea. I think it's going to help organize everything. All of the current OOS co-hosts will need to get me their email address. Jason will be doing some coordination in email with you guys. And also, I want to give you guys authorship on the actual blog page so that you can go in and post your ideas of what's coming up, what you're going to be talking about or whatever, and help to kind of develop this off-site. So at this point, all I have is a web address for it, and it's not actually a .com. I haven't raised the funds to do the .com, but it's oozradio.wordpress.com. Right now it's just the standard WordPress blank page, but I'm going to start developing that later tonight. We're going to change out Sin's homepage link to go directly to this blog. As you know, in the Satanic International Network navigation bar, there's a link to the OOS, which I have just not been able to get back to and, recalibrate and finish it off. And I figured this would give me a chance to work on it piece by piece while I'm managing my other site, eminentmind.info. It's going to eliminate the space of storage that's on SIM for the time being. And I know at some point in the future, we're going to have to start working on actually moving SIM. So.
Oh, of course. That'll be fun.
Yeah, it's looking like a serious task, but it should happen sometime in the near future. So the idea is to develop something that's going to be more interactive. It'll be a place where you can go to get your OOS right then and there.
And you can get a WordPress plugin for the Blog Talk Radio archives, right?
I do not know if there's a plug-in for it or not. I haven't looked. I know that I can use a HTML text widget block thing and just drop the embed code into it, so that shouldn't be a big deal there.
Oh, okay.
But what I'm looking for is more connectivity between written text and what's going on here at the show with a little more, control on our part. WordPress gives you the ability to post by text message or email. to the actual blogs. You know, there's a little email address that they give you, and it's kind of secret private, so all the co-hosts will have that. So if you're out and about and you get an idea or whatever, you can, you know, type it up on your smartphone and send it out, and it'll be there on the page for you, and everybody else can see what's actually going on. But as we start to make efforts both in real life and on the air here on the Ooze, I would like for it to have some kind of congruency and flow.
I think there's a few more benefits to it as well. For one, it'll get more traffic, I should say, more exposure for the show. I mean, it'll be syndicated into the, not syndicated, but the search engines will index it and pick it up, and with new content coming in constantly, the search engines, like, the algorithm loves that. So not only will people be able to find what they need, but more people will be able to get to the website and find the show. And I like the idea of making it so people can comment easier, because, you know, after each show here on Blog Talk Radio, no one's going to sit there and just comment while the show's gone. I mean, and you can't see those chat comments anyway after the show's over. So with those topics up on that website, then you can get people to start real dialogue.
Right, and that's really what we're working for. We want people to talk about stuff, and from there, you know, make it applicable, make it practical. And so it'd be a good interface and a way for us to kind of coordinate everything and really kind of develop things. I mean, we have a very extensive cast at this point here on the Ooze, and we're moved past the phase of using personal pictures and the banners. The description on the homepage at this point is so obsolete, it's ridiculous. I mean, the Ooze is in need of an entire facelift, and so that's really kind of what I'm going to be focusing on the side with my other projects, trying to get this thing work together. It would be nice if there was a way to coordinate more with the co-hosts and stuff without having to, you know, litter the front page of Sin or shoot private messages back and forth. You know, we can kind of, you know, just make one little stop and deal with everything in one spot. You know, but the idea here is to bring us all together. I mean, obviously everybody's got a vested interest in this. Everybody wants to see it succeed that's participating in it.
This is just another step in the evolution of the Ooze.
Exactly. And so with that, today, the birth of Primus Mono, which it was already born, it's just now finally titled. I think it's Mano or Mono. I think it's Mono, actually. But
I have no idea.
Well, the old expression, mano a mano, you know, a mano, it's actually a Spanish phrase, but I think the enunciation is the same for some reason.
Because it is Latin-based, so that would make sense.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, that is what it is. Everybody can, you know, start to check out oozeradio.wordpress.com. In the future, I'm sure there will be oozeradio.com, but for now, until we get some kind of financing going other than Jason and myself or whatever, we're going to, you know, try to stick with free stuff and kind of coordinate and promote and expose it, and hopefully this develops everybody along the way that they want to be developed. So I think I've rambled on quite enough. It's 20 minutes into the show. We haven't even touched on the main topic. Our main topic today was we were going to take a look at Julius Evola, if I say that correctly, his book, which I believe it was entitled The Power Yoga or The Yoga of Power.
Yeah, it's The Yoga of Power.
Yoga of Power. Now, I found this book a few years ago and read it. I really, really thought it was awesome. And then there wasn't too long after that, maybe 6 months or something, I actually read Postmodern Satanism. And what I found was a heavy resonance between the two. I found that Jason King had definitely done his homework, that his arguments were solid and strong, and they were based on something that is historically documented. And so this whole thing sprung out of that jackass stupidity of shithead or whatever his name was.
Swords of faggotry.
Yeah, that was it. Swords of faggotry. This whole thing actually all sprung out of the fact that he was trying to say that Anton LaVey created the new left-hand path and then said, you know, hey, you know, this is connected to ancient things, but it wasn't actually relative. And during that whole argument, what I threw out there was that, you know, that's not correct. In fact, if you look through history, not only did Madame Blavatsky, if I'm saying her name right, that not only did she document this, but there were several other people, and one of them in particular was fairly ingenious and, I mean, by all outward descriptions, what I would call a postmodern Satanist. So.
Yep, especially when you look at the idea of, I think it was Kali Yuga, that right there, when they were talking about the end of the, what was the age? I don't remember most of the terms. I get the idea, but it was talking about how our age is like the pinnacle of this other age where people are very materialistic, where there's a difference between like power as in like what our technology and science gives us, because it's all based on how things appear to work, right, rather than what things actually are.
Right, right. And he does a very good job of kind of extensively going into a material worldview, which was the one distinction that I found between Jason King's postmodern Satanism and the power of yoga. The one distinction that stuck out immediately was the fact that King comes from a perspective of reality is reality is illusionary. Reality is self-built. He makes the argument brilliantly within the first chapter of the book, and he says, well, you know, if it's all an illusion, how can you get to any result at all?
Right. So, and that's kind of similar to the idea of Maya, or whatever they call it in the book, on the power, the yoga of power. Does that make sense? Like, they're talking about the difference between Maya and Brahman, whereas Brahman being the absolute, the acausal, you could say, if you want to use that word.
Yeah, that's a fair interpretation, although I don't think that he was arguing for the concept of Maya at all. What I think that he was saying instead was that it's kind of a foolish notion. But, I mean, again, it's been a few years since I read the book. When we decided we were going to do this, I started going back through it. I'm only about halfway through rereading it, so.
Yeah, I'm only a few chapters in. I just haven't had a lot of time to really dig into it. But I want to finish
right.
it soon.
But anybody who's interested in knowing the true history of the left-hand path and its origins, what it really means, where the ideas have developed from, this is an excellent resource. It cuts out all the necessity to trudge through old Hindu tantras and whatever else, you know, old Western occult materials, because he references it all. This man was, I mean, he's a world-renowned scholar in that particular venue. He's heavily studied.
Into the
very
occult,
articulate.
Right?
What's that?
Like he was from what I was reading in the introduction, it said that he did a lot of study on the occult in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, he was a true student. And he makes some really, really cool kind of obvious observations. The arguments he offers are like one-sentence arguments that just destroy its opposing case. Throughout the book, he'll say, you know, the argument kind of goes like this, and he'll give you an example. And it's one sentence, and it's a sentence that at the end of it all, you can't do anything but accept it as holding some kind of authority.
Right, and what I also really like is the way he talks about it, all of it is in opposition to what like Swords was claiming, like, oh, people are just trying to superimpose the idea, or, you know, LaVey's idea of LHP on the past, but you don't see that at all. He's going straight for the source. He's talking about what the tantric system actually talks about and the Vedas and all that. He actually isn't trying to superimpose at all. You can tell just by the way he writes it. There's obviously it's translated into English, so maybe there's some language influence on there. I don't know. I never studied those languages, but you could tell that he is drawing directly from what they're talking about, not in just terms of the philosophies, but examples.
Right. Well, what he does is he breaks up these four categories, these four ages, so to speak, of spiritual growth and philosophy, specifically in Eastern philosophy. That's where he's dealing with it. But he's showing along the way, he gets examples of how it was growing in the Western culture at the same time, in kind of unison. And it's really neat to kind of see what he's got going on. He was a turn of the 20th century author. He lived, I think, from the beginning of 1900, sometime into the late 70s. Smart guy, seemed to be very up on what was going on in science, and at the same time up on what was going on in the occult world, and very interested in Eastern philosophy, and drew heavily off of ideas that Nietzsche offered. He, I believe, he even mentions Nietzsche a couple of times.
Yeah, he mentions Kant too.
Mm-hmm. I know he mentioned Kant. Yeah, he mentions. I'm trying to think of who else he mentions. And like I said, it's been a while since I read this book, but it's a great book. Oh, Aristotle, that's another one that he mentions.
Yeah, I didn't get to that part yet with Aristotle. I'm trying to find the quote from Nietzsche in here, or however the hell you say his name. It was something to the effect of the only person that gets in the way of the only thing that gets in the way of man is man himself, and he was basically saying that that the tantra takes that to a whole new level, like. It's weak sauce compared to the tantric system.
Right. Well, the whole overall thrust of the book is that there's a hard line drawn between right-hand path systems and left-hand path systems, and that hard line comes in the fact that the left-hand path system is, in fact, moving towards self-supremacy.
Power, you know, through self.
Pardon me?
Power, as he put, the word he uses.
Yeah. Right, and he deals with the term power in a very curious way, too. That's something else that I thought was really excellent about his work, was that he explains that the way that we in the West think of power is not necessarily the way that he's talking about power. He doesn't categorize it as being wrong, but rather that there's this other aspect of it that we can talk about. And I don't want this show to be a spoiler for the book. I want people to actually go out and buy this book, because it's not something that it is heavily popularized at this point, but it's definitely worth the read. I think if enough people read this, that the left-hand path will kind of embrace its heredity and from there go forward, rather than constantly trying to reach back and draw connections. I think that that's one of our major falls as left-hand path practitioners. We tend to try to kind of look into the back of what's going on in history and say, oh, this relates to this as it's being proposed now, and there's not much forward thought going on at this point.
I think you're right. People just seem to focus on what happened before rather than trying to evolve the ideas and even making them practical. Just a lot of philosophizing, not any doing.
Right. Now, what I find most interesting about this, for me, is that right around the same time frame as Gurdjieff was heading over to the East to learn what you know, his system, Evola at the same time was studying these tantras and learning about occultism, and what they come up with is very similar premises explained in different ways. So definitely a nice correlation. It kind of helps you understand. The very first chapter of this book is really cool. It gives a really good history of what's going on, the difference between the tantras, the yogas. I'm trying to remember what the other category was. Like you, I struggle a bit with the terminology because it's not something that is native to my vocabulary. So I think siddhas or something like that is the other one, but I'm not really sure offhand. I think definitely a brilliant piece. It's something that I'd like to, as you are reading through this book and I'm reading through this book, we continue to kind of explore in different phases. I figured we would give a general overview today and kind of talk about what some of the ideas that have been presented in here are. And then from there, maybe get into a little more of the technicality next week. You know, we might talk about the difference between, the tantras and the yogas as he explained them in this book next week. So it'll kind of be like we hit the overview of the first chapter or two chapters in the next book. I mean, because he gets into, what Shiva is, what Kali is. I'm trying to remember how to pronounce Shakti or something like
that.
Yeah,
that's how I say it too. Shakti.
Shakti.
the power.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, I think that was, hold on, Shakti, I thought it was something like the power, or, hold on. You know what, never mind. I'll try to find the definition here.
Well, what it actually is, okay, Shiva itself is the manifestation. It is the, at least as I understand it, it is the actual thing that you're dealing with, but the power that animates it, that's the Shakti. That's it is.
It's the movement, the power. Or something.
It is the movement, the power, right?
I think that's a good topic I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say we can discuss this in a way like this. There is a hammer. There is a nail. The idea of the hammer striking the nail and causing it to hold two things together is Shiva. The actual action, the actual movement, the actual force exerted in lifting that hammer and smacking down on that nail, that is Shakti.
It's the actual movement.
Yeah, it's the actual
flow.
Power.
We could say current.
Right.
We could say current. I think Shakti could be synonymous with current.
That's precisely right. As a matter of fact, a while back on one of these shows here on the news, Jason King made the statement that Kali was in fact the grandmother of Satanism, at least from where he was sitting, and that's what he meant by that. That the current itself, that current is Kali.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I mean, King can come along and correct me if I'm wrong, but as I understood it, that's what he was expressing. of course, he's probably not listening right now. He's, I believe, only listens to these in archives anymore to keep himself from calling in. But it is what it is.
Yeah, so Shakti, Vivek is saying in chat, Shakti has the energy current, and Shiva is the series of movement. That's his question. It seems like, I think what it is Shiva is the form, and Shakti is the essence.
Right. That, if you were to break it down in that way, yes. Yeah, if you were to break it down in that way, that seems to be the way that I understand it. Of course, I am not an expert on Eastern traditions by any stretch. I'm very much a student. I don't know that in my lifetime I will ever master the complex concepts that are actually expressed throughout Eastern mythology or Eastern religious practices. So something seems so simple at first when you're looking at them, but to actually experience them, to actually move through them, that is the only way that you really come to that is the only way that you really come to understand these things as they're being expressed. And I think he actually kind of talks about that a little bit in this book as well, if I remember.
Yeah, so far, in the first couple chapters, I think he does.
Yeah, so with all that being said, we've got about 23 minutes left in the show. I want to make sure we get our call-in number out there, 347-989-1371. If, anything that we have discussed so far or discussed further on, or if you have something that you kind of want to add to it, then give us a call and we'll let you chime in. This is definitely an open discussion. Let me see where we're at. He does go a great deal into Kali. I'm right now opening up the PDF to see you exactly what categories were dealt with.
He also goes a bit about Shiva. And Kali is part of Shiva, too. They're kind of like, I guess with the other, like, three ages, the gods and goddesses, so to speak, were more autonomous. But in the Kali Yuga, which is the awakening of Kali, the female deities are more like companions to male deities. That's kind of like a balance. I guess maybe like RHP, LHP dynamic. Maybe I'm reading into it a little bit too much on that, but
I don't think that you're necessarily reading into it too much. I think that you've just made a mild undersight. It is not that Kali is the companion of Shiva. Kali is part of Shiva. Kali is Shiva's movement, if that
just
makes sense.
Oh, no, that does. The destructive force of Shiva. Whereas Shiva is a part of it kind of sounds like a trinity where you got, I don't remember the names of the deities, but I think they're all part of Brahman is what it was.
Well, they are actually prior to the three-stage Vishnu, Brahman, and I'm trying to remember the other one. Give me a minute here. See if I can kind of
I think it was Vishnu, Brahman, and then Shiva. I think that's how the order of things. You got creation, homeostasis, and then you have destruction.
Right. Well, you have to understand that Shakti is actually prior to this. You can find a manifestation of that in every set of those three states.
It just depends on how it flows.
Yeah. It just depends on whether you're creating, destroying, or something in between the homeostasis, as you put it, existing, I guess, would be the easiest way to chop that out. But again, I'm not an expert on this thing. But in this book, he talks about the meaning and origins of the tantras. He gets into knowledge and power. He gets into Kali and Shakti more specifically. He starts to talk about what is the human condition. And he then starts to get into the actual path of the left hand and explains that. He then goes from there into subtle bodies, if I remember correctly. Goes further into that, into evocations. It gets into orgies.
See, that's the one thing that really stuck out to me.
Right.
Because,
go ahead, man.
I was going to say, the reason why that stuck out to me was, I remember Swords was trying to say that our hedonism of Satanism or whatever had nothing to do with what they were doing in the East. I'm like, well, I think there are similarities in that sense, if they're doing ritualistic orgies and whatnot.
Right, right. I mean, it's all part of a tradition that's been building and growing since the beginning of man, really, in one way or the other. And he really, I think that Evola did a very good job categorizing and doing kind of a comparison or a similarity between the two and explaining how their developments are alike.
I think he even went further in the past. I can't remember the term for it, but it was like it was a group that actually did do this left path of left hand type thing before they called it that, and they kind of went underground and resurfaced much later when they actually coined the term.
Yeah, well, that's a statement made on two levels. What he was saying was that that it was in fact prior, and then we went through this golden age kind of deal, where you had all of these godlinesses and the strive to become part of God, or the part of divinity, back to this realization that we are already divinity, that the only thing that stops us from reaching this divinity is ourselves. And I think that that's what he was trying to express there. Again, great. It's an excellent read. I can't suggest that people read it enough. It's something that I will actually be donating to the Mendez Library this week. So if you're interested in it, you're going to want to go to, and I don't remember what the actual web address for it is here, goatofmendez.ning.com. Or you can go to the Satanic International Network and click on the library link. But that's what we're aiming for here, is to aiming to get that up there. I want to get some people reading it, get some discussion on this. I want to kind of go through this over the next few weeks, if you don't mind, Lehi. So.
I would love to. I find this book fascinating and the topics are engaging.
All right, but this book deals directly with the heritage of the ideas that are expressed in at least the postmodern version of Satanism, although I think that LeVay very much understood what was being conveyed through this set of ideas. So,
yeah, I think he had, I think out of people who would call themselves LeVay and Satanists, I think that LeVay and probably those close to him would be the only ones I could really consider people that understood the current.
Right. So, again, we're going back to the terminology, the current. It's always been a current, and from time to time, every 100 years or so, somebody pops up and says, hey, that's a current. So it's neat to see that Jason King was the guy who first started doing that, at least on our spectrum of things again. So
absolutely.
I'm trying to think what else I wanted to really touch on about this today. Like I said, I don't want to spoil it. I'm going to donate this PDF to Porn's Library this week. I'll probably actually shoot Bourne an email or a Facebook message later today and attach the file to him, and then when he uploads it, it'll be there.
All right.
But
well,
this is definitely... Go ahead.
I was going to say, well, since we don't want to spoil the book, I think we could at least maybe touch upon at least one of the ideas in it without actually ruining the book for people. But I kind of wanted to go into the idea of power itself and what they're talking about.
Okay.
So, all basically...
Right. Please.
I was going to say, we could start with the idea of what we see as power in our culture. I mean, we have science and technology that empower us to do certain things in our lives, but do those things actually impact us on an individual and, I should say, spiritual level, so to speak? Do they really change the person we are, or are they just tools that, if we are stripped of them, we would be much worse off than before we had them? As opposed to the idea of Shakti and power from within.
Actually is precisely the way that he phrased it in this book, if I remember correctly.
Well, I hope I'm not spoiling it.
No, you're not spoiling it at all. Again, the entire book itself is very, very complex reading, very good on an explanatory level, and you can take away from it no matter where you are. In your own personal spiritual growth, you can take something from it. So certainly I'm looking here because I know in this chapter he gave he actually dealt directly with this, and he gave us a small kind of quote as to the difference between between knowledge and power. So, or not knowledge and power, the difference between internal power and external power. And so let everybody just hang on a second or whatever. In the meantime, if you have any thoughts you wanted to put forward, man, go for it.
Well, I'm hoping to get a bit further because I want to see if they... I have a feeling that there's going to be practical things in there, like ritual or whatnot, how these people that came up with this tantric system actually did it. Like, maybe there's something about orgy rituals or other kinds of things that people can try out to test themselves. So that's one thing I'm really looking forward to. I mean, of course, you can't really... there's some things you just can't learn by reading, and that's actually another point that's made, is that you can philosophize and read all you want, but until you actually go out and do something, you won't really evolve internally. And that's the key of power, is what they're talking about is going through practical experiences to build yourself from within, to find what your essence is and give it power, rather than relying on, say, technology. I mean, everybody can... it was kind of hard explanation where they were talking about the causal connection between when people use technology for their aims versus whether they have the strength to do it themselves. I mean, anybody can pick up a gun and shoot at somebody. It's very impersonal. Or just any kind of technology for your ends. It's, I guess the word he used was democratized, which
right,
is what we
right.
do a lot in the Western world.
He was talking about it from a democratic sense. I remember he made some kind of statement in this book, and I'm looking for it right now, something about handguns will produce the same results in the hands of a lunatic, a soldier, or a great statesman.
Yep, that's the quote.
Yeah, it's something like that. That's precisely it. He talks about that external power being a crutch, that you need to develop this internal sense of self. Your soul or Atman, as he was talking about it in this book, if I'm remembering right, and then you'll have the ability to, produce a more determined result using that gun.
Right. That sounds about right.
Yeah, that's kind of a tricky. It's kind of a tricky thing to explain, but it's very well worded in there. I wish that orally or oratorically, I had the same kind of ability to communicate the ideas that he does in text here. I've got a couple other books by this guy that are excellent as well, but this is one that just I thought it hit right home.
It really touches upon the same essence that all, some of these other things I've read really touch upon. But it's interesting because this stuff is much older, and it just goes to show how human beings have been this way for a very long time, which you mentioned earlier, but still.
It's kind of strange in the fact, like I said, that we always look back and try to, you know, make our connections there and make our understandings happen there. But what really needs to be going on is we need to be focusing on the now and forward. I mean, if you looked at things from the allegorical context of peripheral vision, our peripheral vision right now goes and starts from the right here, right now, and extends into the back. We are always looking behind us and right at this second, but it's not even like we're really looking at this very second. We're looking at the second that just passed and back. And what needs to happen is there needs to be a shift of perspective where we're sliding forward more and looking into the future too, that we allow the pendulum of our perception to sway from back to front, from front to back, from back to front, and
step into
we
the
observe
darkness.
Pardon me?
I said step into the darkness of the future.
Yeah.
As JK likes to call it the next, we need to focus on the next.
Yeah, I think that's it's a valid point. It's interesting. A lot of people I really respect intellectually, sometimes they try to sell short the actual genius of Jason King. And I'm not saying this is a cock rider or someone who's hanging off of its nuts, but as a fellow peer or colleague who recognizes when somebody has something right. And he's got a lot of this right. So.
Yep. And it resonates with all of it. That's kind of how I could tell it's right. Well, other than the good arguments, but just laying it out like that, you could really resonate. And I'm just wondering who's going to really run with these ideas. I mean, like you were saying, we look in the past, but who's going to run with it and what are they going to do? I guess we could get into that more on another show on what some ideas on going forward are.
Right.
Because
it's
kind of a tough thing to tackle.
That's definitely something that we should be addressing in one of these episodes, maybe in conclusion after we've gone through this entire book and really kind of laid it all out. We'll then talk about what concepts are going forward, and maybe we'll do it in parallel. This is certainly something we'll be going into here on this particular edition. And I'd like to encourage everybody to start to try to develop that inner power that he's talking about, because that inner power, I believe, is what builds the courage to step into the darkness, as you just said so eloquently a few minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
Shit. Well, we got about 5.5 minutes left. Wanted to make mention, tomorrow night we'll be back here, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Outbreak Take Action edition. Should be an interesting show there. Again, Tuesday we'll have the Luminous Edition. Wednesday will be the new Female Satan Pistacino version of the Ooze. Then next Friday we'll go back to the Ooze Occupied. and Saturday we'll be back here, and sometime in between, if I can pull it off, which I don't think it will really happen, but what I'm looking at have happen here in the near future is I'm going to start advertising on each of these shows for unknown bands or bands that are just coming up to give us some of their music. I would like to do a music hour, but I would like to do it kind of as a talent discovery thing.
Oh, that sounds like
promotion.
Fun.
I'm going to. One of the things I used to do on Twisted Radio was these pre-developed hour music blocks with commercials and stuff like that. But the commercials were all kind of relative to things I was interested in at the time. And what we'll do here is just promote the other shows through those commercials. But it'll be something for people to come listen to you know, give us more of a platform to kind of develop, that's definitely what I'd like to do. So anybody who's listening to this live or in archive, if you'd like to contribute something to this or if you're interested in having your stuff put out here on the Ooze in a future edition, you can send audio samples plus, a brief bit of information about yourself and or your band or whatever to beastcino@gmail.com.
Hey, if I can finish.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, if I can finish my track, I'll definitely submit that.
Yeah, we'd like to see that. I mean, you're kind of actually one of the people that got me thinking about doing this. When you sent me that, I went, this is something that he might not normally have gotten any kind of exposure for, but we could, add an avenue in this way and kind of give people more of a sense of community, so to speak, I guess is what I'm aiming
at.
Yeah,
I like that idea. And also, I just thought of something interesting, speaking of music. We were talking about stepping forward rather than looking in the past. I think music can be incorporated into this idea of, getting these ideas out there and evolving them. At least that's just an idea just popped in my head. It seemed like it would fit.
That's perfectly relative and kind of the whole point, I think, of it. And we've only got about a minute of talking time left, so I'm going to go ahead and throw this out here real quick. But last night on my way back from Fort Myers and picking up my kid, I was in a discussion with a friend of the family, and he was making some parallels about the Vietnam War. And one of the things that he made mention of was the fact that the music itself was how they carried their ideas back then between each other, how there was actually communication nationwide, because obviously they didn't have the resources of the internet or even telephones, really. I mean, they had telephones, but long distance was ridiculously expensive. So music was in fact how the messenger carried the message back in that day.
Oh, that's interesting.
So
yeah,
about 90 seconds.
Yeah, that's kind of what I do with my lyrics. They're very deliberate. There's always a message in them, or at least with this newer piece. Like some of the other ones, it's just kind of like I just thought it would sound cool. But this one has a more deliberate message if people really look for it, rather than trying to sound shocking.
Right on, man. Right on. So that's maybe something we'll touch on somewhere along the way, but people can look forward to that. With all that being said and done, man, we're running out of time. So thank you for a great show.
Hey, thanks for having me on this new edition, or not new, but the first flow.
You got it, man.
Honored to be here.
We'll catch everybody next week.
All right, y'all have a good weekend.
Thank you for listening to the opinions expressed by our guests or callers do not necessarily represent the opinions held by TC, Zach, Jason, Matt, or any other institution represented by them. If you have been offended by the production of this show, we are sorry, but as the old expression goes, tough luck. Special thanks to Dr. Rocky DeRoma for his contribution to this outro. The Ooze is the Creative Oddity Studios product and is presented by Titanic International Network as its official Blog Talk radio show. Why waste your time with those other guys?